My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT, it's out back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your calls here. We're talking Giants, we're talking Jets ahead of the big games for them. Week two after what happened in week one. Now, week two is underway after last night's game, and there's two parts of it. Number one, and this is the less significant part, although more meaningful to the Jets as it pertains to the standings in the AFC East, the Bills are much better than a lot of people had thought, BT. I think, you know, because they lose Diggs, people are like, oh, well, the Bills aren't going to be as good. They do it differently now, and it was more effective last night running the football. They look legitimate. That is going to be the team that the Jets are going to have to battle with all year long, and I cannot wait for that Monday night matchup. Oof. The first time the Jets play. Matter of fact, we should probably go to that one.
Especially if the Jets have a bunch of wins by then, and they should.
If there's no Yankees or Mets postseason, that'll be a, you know, maybe we take a little trip out there for that Monday night game. Anyway, the more important thing as it pertains to life, when you see Tua Tagovailoa get hit the way that he did, which didn't even look that bad, you know, in the play,
yeah,
but then go down and start convulsing the way that he did, how can you say anything other than he should never set foot on, and I hate to say this, like, it's heartbreaking for Tua. He can't play football anymore. That's it. After the last one happened, you know, years ago, whatever it was it last year or 2 years ago?
I think it was last year it was healthy.
Okay,
two years ago.
He had a bunch. 2022. When he went down in 2022, it was as ugly and as scary as a thing as we've seen outside of, you know, Hamlin, who literally almost died.
And Hamlin was the one who was tackling him?
I know, which is bizarre. Oof. But when you see him, he did the same thing. So, it's his life. I'm sorry, you cannot. We're talking about player safety. That is priority and first and foremost. And I know he's got a family to feed. He wants to make his money. The NFL should not allow him to set foot on the field anymore. And then they should pay him out the contract. And that's got to be the end of it.
You know, the irony, too, was that last year he was healthy. And it was before last season he started doing, like, jiu-jitsu to learn how to roll properly. If you remember, a lot of his early concussions were when he got thrown to the ground and he lost control of his head with his neck hitting the turf.
Snapping back.
And he learned to roll and to tuck and protect a little bit some of the staples of jiu-jitsu. This one, he actually sought the contact. Like, it wasn't a vicious hit by
Hamlin.
He was the one who delivered all the contact.
But his head and neck kind of just got...
I know.
There's no training you could do to prevent that. It's football.
Yeah.
So, it didn't look to me like a normal... Like, sometimes you see the head get slammed. Helmet to helmet. Like, on the replay, that's what I was waiting to see. You didn't see that. Now, you did see his neck kind of go in a different way. I just think he's susceptible to them.
He is.
He's fragile with it.
He clearly is. It's horrible. You know, there's... The thing, like, you look at concussions, we obviously had a lot more information the last 10 years or so, much more focus. You know, back even going back when Boomer and Tiki were playing. Here's some smelling salts. Go get them. I mean, they would literally stick a packet of ammonia under your nose, wake you up, and say, all right, buddy, you're good to go.
Boomer was saying the other day, he doesn't even know how, like, he's like, I was fortunate to never have broken a bone or anything.
I heard him say this.
But, I you know, I had a few concussions, maybe eight, who knows.
Like, I heard that. I heard the number eight. I was like, wow.
You don't even know.
Yeah, I know you don't know because they weren't diagnosed. There was no protocol. So the NFL's done the right thing with these guidelines here. The problem is it's a ferocious sport, and there's only so much that you can police it. Maybe you have to take on a page from... like boxing, where you just don't get certified in certain states to box based on injury. And, you know, maybe for the greater good of the player, somebody like Tua, even if he wants to play, he's eventually going to be cleared. But, yeah, I mean, you might be onto something. You don't let him.
You think he'll play again?
I do.
And how about Al Michaels last night? And I love Al Michaels, and I think all the Al Michaels hate is wrong. But, Al, like, we're watching the game. You're seeing the guy...
Yeah.
You know, have those spasms, whatever you want to call them, which is not the first time that we saw this. So he's got a clear history of this. And you see that and you're saying, well, they have the extra few days because they play Thursday night. So maybe be clear for week three.
There's no perspective there.
Ow.
No.
Week three. Well, come on.
There's zero perspective. And then you saw like the twitch of the arm and
that's all what, twitching.
The neurosurgeons, neurologists obviously weigh in. And, you know, basically that is you lose consciousness where you just lose that kind of faculty. It's terrifying. But that's football. And he is such a warrior. I mean, every football player is a warrior, but he is a proud young man.
You think he's going to want to come back?
I know he's going to want to come back. It goes back to his heritage, the way he spoke about this. Teague met his parents. And you talk about that type of culture, his background.
But this is his life.
I understand that, but they are, I don't want to say they're too proud. This is a compliment, definitely not at all shade or disrespect at all. It's the opposite. I think he is just so hell-bent on proving, because he's not big. You heard the stuff with Herbert. Maybe they should have taken Justin Herbert. I think that this man is just so intensely driven to prove everybody wrong that he's going to put his life in danger.
Here's the thing, though, BT. If it were back, was that David Wilson? Remember the Giants running back that they took? Used to do backflips, right?
Yeah.
Was it a back with him? Like, whatever it was, there was an injury that he could not play anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Few guys have had
that. David, right? Whatever. Like, we've seen plenty of injuries that... hey, you know what? It's just not there anymore. He can't play. Forced to retire because of this.
Yep.
This is his brain. This is his head. So he may get cleared, but that should be just as, if not even more so, like, nope, sorry, you can't play anymore because if you get hit again and this happens, such and such could happen. Like, I get him wanting to play. Obviously, he's going to want to play. That's just, like you said, inherent in him.
Yeah.
Of course, we would all, assuming you're in that spot, you get to the level of being a pro quarterback and a very good one at that, and you're getting paid a lot of money. You want to go out there and continue to do your job and think you could stay healthy. But this is, we're talking about life and death here, potentially.
I know you are. And it's, you know, you rupture your Achilles or you have a knee repaired or tendons and ligaments and ribs and cartilage and anything but the brain. There's a procedure. Now, you might not be running a 4.3 after you have whatever procedure you might have, but I'll tell you this. At least you could sit there and converse with your wife and see your kids age and enjoy life and play golf and still be active. Like, he's got a real, real decision. To me, it's a fairly easy one. But I think he's going to try to play. And it's terrifying.
Is that what you would do? When you say it's a fairly easy one, all right.
Meaning for him. What now,
I can't single even imagine me, that being easy.
Single me is a different answer than married and father me. It's a different answer.
I just don't understand how... like the Dolphins, the league.
I know.
You can't let them play.
But the league's always let them play. I think that, I don't think, I know. Let's just say the league intervened and they said, you know what, even if it was out of a good, like a good notion, if they wanted to do that, which they never would, legally, you don't think the NFLPA would just jump in immediately and say, there's no way you're doing this. You don't, if this is not in the CBA, there's no way you can be this heavy hand, even though you're trying to help him, because now you have, you know, a ton of guaranteed money at stake, future earnings, and now you establish a precedence. Like, there is no way, 0.00% chance that the NFL intervenes. What Tua is thinking in his private thoughts, and as he leans on his family, I don't know. I answered your question. If it was single me, I'm playing. If it's married me without kids, I'm playing. If it's married me as a dad, I'm probably taking the pads off. That's where you start. Yeah. Because when you become a dad, it's different. You just see the world different.
Right, but also you see the difference when you're 25 versus when you're 45. Like, young, stupid, ignorant me, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play. actually, you know, evolved, somewhat adult me.
You can't.
It's stupid. You're talking about ruining your life potentially. I get that that is his life, playing quarterback and all this stuff. He's made enough money. He could go into broadcasting or something like that.
Go right on College Game Day or somewhere on the college scene, probably more than the NFL, and be a star.
Like, guys sometimes are forced to retire. I just don't understand how the league would allow it. Almost take the
decision.
They
always allow it.
I know, but I don't understand how they talk about player safety, and then you're going to allow somebody who we've seen with our own eyes
look like phonies. That. Come on. We're not that naive. They care about money.
And then God forbid he takes another hit. By the way, he's going to get hit again.
I know.
And there's no way you can tell me, Tua just a part of his game, can't be running it. Well, then it's not going to be as fun. It's not going to be as effective for him.
Yeah, it's not the same quarterback he drafted.
Right.
Which is more of a football issue.
Right, so it's not going to be as... And also, you still can't prevent getting hit.
No, and the problem is, like, the early association with concussions, and this has obviously been debunked, but it was always, but a while ago, blunt force trauma. No. And last night's a reminder that it's not just that Antonio Brown hit that we all think changed a lot,
right,
or a player smashing his head on turf. It's the little micro concussions, and when the brain shifts and moves around, it's not going to look as violent. It's not going to be as, oh my God, did you see him get crushed? Jeez, I hope he's okay. A lot of times we can't even detect when the brain shifts because the players might not even know in real time. But the abundance of micro concussions that add up,
right,
leads to one big irreversible problem.
Hoff, didn't Lindros have to retire, Eric?
Yes.
Lindros, from because of concussions?
100%.
Okay, so he was forced to retire.
I don't know if he was forced by the NHL.
Oh, he just retired then on his own?
Yeah, yeah. I think he just...
Hoff, I asked him because he's the hockey guy. But
no, Lindros was plagued with concussions terribly, sure.
That was a thing when it happened early on in his career. Obviously, it happened throughout his career, whether it be with, you know, the Flyers or the Rangers. But then he had to retire early because of that.
Yep.
I mean, this is one of those spots where he probably, too, is going to have to retire. I would think. Now, who knows? We'll see how...
He is going to retire? I don't.
I don't. Maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm overthinking it here. But, I mean, maybe we say, hey, to Al Michaels' point, maybe he's out there week three. McDaniels did say he would be shocked. Like, he's...
There's no way he's playing.
He's worried about the person. He's probably not going to play week three.
About getting Ryan Tannehill in the building. Yeah. He's not playing anytime soon, but I don't think he's going to retire.
I mean, if we see Tua again this year,
I know.
Chris is in Massapequa. Scary. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Big fan. Never called before. I'm a huge fan of BT. I think you are the epitome of a sports fan, and I think we are aligned on a lot of thoughts, which is why I'm calling, because I'm a little concerned, because a sports fan's all about hope, and the fact that you want to, you know, tank in week two doesn't really make any sense.
Well, No, hold on. I get that. There's the concept of abandoning hope, which equates to, at least loosely translated, tanking, because we all know, Chris, that the players aren't tanking and the coaches aren't. It's generally a front office directive. But I'm not saying for the Giants to tank now. No, I'm saying that I think the Giants will play well in week two. I think they've got a good chance to win. We'll make our prediction soon. What I am saying is that the overall concept of tanking applied to certain situations is something that I believe in, but I've literally subscribed to, whether it's betting against the Jets or actively rooting against the Jets at the end of the season to either get rid of a coach or further enhance draft status. I don't hide that.
And we could disagree about that, you and I and whoever. The week two tank stuff.
No, I'm with you. We agree on that.
That's like beyond...
It's crazy.
Come on now.
It's crazy.
I'm not saying at the end of the year the Giants won't be in that position. Actually, I'm saying that. I don't believe the Giants are going to be in that position anyway. I think they'll be in a similar position as they were a year ago, which, to Nick's point before, they still could have had the quarterback. They just didn't want to give up what it would have taken to get him. Other teams before, the Giants themselves, to trade up for Eli, you have to trade sometimes to get that quarterback. I just can't get behind tanking, especially week two. Justin is in South Florida. What's up, Justin?
How we doing, guys? Love the show.
What's up, Justin?
Thanks, pal.
I just wanted to kind of jump on the line with you. I'm not saying the Giants should tank, but they shouldn't win, is the truth of it. Look what it got us in 22. Look what it got us in 23. Yes, the Giants won in 22. Great. What did that do? That got us Daniel Jones on a $200 million contract. Now we can't get rid of him, right? 23, we win what? Bunch of garbage time games? Where, okay, now you're saying we should have traded for the 1, 2, or 3? Who are we trading for?
If they love the quarterback.
Who's actually going to make a trade? Well, okay, who's actually going to trade anything?
New England. New England was going to would have been
not a shot.
Justin, are you asking me the question? You want me to answer it or no? You have all the answers.
I'm just being honest with you. New England said, if you listen to
did you watch Hard Knocks? Hard Knocks? Okay.
Yes, they did. They said that they were happy where they were. And that they're picking a quarterback because they needed to pick a quarterback.
They would have had to have been blown away to consider trading that. That means that they could have the Giants. Now, what exactly does that mean, blown away? But they could have had that pick had they given up this draft, next draft, maybe the future draft. You could have. Everybody's got a price.
Look, the only thing that I'm saying is the worst thing the Giants can do is do an 8-win season. Right? Okay. Like, that's what you want us to root. That's the seal. That's what you want us to root for is an 8-win season. Then we have to trade up for a quarterback.
Justin,
that
here's the thing, Justin. I don't care what you root for, and thank you for the call. I'm telling you that you're wasting your time as a fan. You're going to go there. So are you a fan or not? Like, I'm assuming you're a fan. You buy the jersey. You get ready for the game. You're excited for the game. And then what? You're going to root for them to lose? That's what you're going to do? If you're going to do that, just go out and pumpkin pick or apple pick and not even worry about the game. Check the score and say, oh, shoot, they won. Or, oh, yay, they lost. Like, I'm confused as to what you guys think fandom is. We get caught up in today's day and age with analytics and draft picks and draft. I'm talking about all sports. Oh, well, the prospects, this. Everybody's worried about Spencer Jones or Francisco Alvarez before he came up here or whatever. Pick, Acuna or Jet Williams, when in 2, 3, 5 years, you don't even know if these guys are going to be in the big leagues. And you're worried about that. It's always about moving down the road as opposed to now. So in week two of now, you're worried about next offseason with a draft spot where you have no idea where you'd be picking, what players will be, and if those players that you do pick, because the Giants have had top five picks and they've botched those already, Jets too, you're going to take a player number one, number two overall this year and hope that he pans out over the next 5 years, but still don't know. And on we go. That to me just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's philosophically off as a sports fan.
Well, think about what he said, like, hey, so what are we going to go? And I'm going to complete his thought because I don't think he got to it at the end. But he started to say, like, hey, what are we going to go? 8 and 9, and then where do we go? Well, there's a couple of different 8 and 9s. If you go 8 and 9 and Burns has a massive season and Dexter Lawrence is still, which he's going to be, and Kayvon takes a small step forward again and Okereke is terrific and Thomas is a stud and Schmitz gets a little bit better and Neighbors is the stud that he's going to be and even others like whether Tyler Newbin, like you're going, and if those guys, those younger players, some really young and some youngish, if they have real influence on the season and to get 8 wins, they're going to have to. Then maybe you can find a quarterback in an unconventional spot next year.
Right.
Like, it doesn't Rodgers is the Jets quarterback this year. Did anybody think he'd be the quarterback this year? Or last year?
Right.
No, because he was a Packer. Stafford,
and the Packers got him at 25.
Stafford's bounced around.
Yeah,
you just don't know.
Well, that's also the point. So, in season, if you are a fan and you want your team to win, which I can't even believe that we're debating this in sports talk. Like, think about that. We're debating whether or not you as a sports fan want your team to win or lose, which just doesn't comprehend. So let's say you go out there and have a fun season like you did a couple years ago. Nobody expected it. You win a role playoff game. Think of the enjoyment that gave you.
Yep.
You also could then, in the draft the next player that is going to set you up years beyond, whether it's the first round, end of the first round, middle of the first round, second round, third. Like, there are great players to be had at all levels, all rounds of the draft each year. You don't need to tank to get that guy. That, to me, is pathetic.
And they've tried to take a few of those quarterbacks, middle-round picks, and they haven't worked out. The Jets have tried that as well. Bryce Petty, names like that for the Jets. I get it. Giants and Jets have both tried. Haven't really worked out. But, if you took that mindset into year 2022 and you were unhappy when they banged in that two-point conversion, you're like, I want everybody to go, a new regime, but I want to get a high draft pick. You don't even enjoy the win. Well, guess what? To Sal's point, you missed out on a really good season. Now, you and I disagree at the end of the season, but a root against the Giants in a couple of days, to me, is absolutely insane.
Stuck in traffic.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
And today's football picks brought to you by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by London menswear brand Charles Turwood. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
The perfect parlay pick segment, and it was an ugly week one, as expected and anticipated to a certain extent, although I will say, not only did the three of us not come close to hitting a parlay, nobody even hit one leg of the parlay last year.
You share that part there,
the only
but That's transparent, buddy.
It's on record. The only points that were had, BT, were the money line picks. We Hoff and I both had the Niners over the Jets, so we each have 5 points. So that's where we stand right now. Just a reminder, 2-team parlay, 25 points. 3-team parlay worth 50 points. 4-team parlay worth 100 points. Pick the correct winner of the Jets and Giants with no spread is worth 5 points each. BT, week two. What do you got?
Well, I need a little music first. I'll tell you what I got. Here we go. First, all I heard and all that stuff was I'm losing by 5 points. You guys five, me nothing, which means it is time to get rocking. Not one, not two. I got a little three-seater for you today, Sally boy. Three-seater here. Number one. All right. The Ravens are laying 9.5 points. They host the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, like the Jets, the Raiders are actually starting their season back-to-back on the road. So that is obviously a bit of an issue. The Raiders' offense stinks, and it's going to stink all year. I told you that. Actually, it came up very quickly. I really do believe that they're going to trade their wide receiver, Devontae Adams. Different story for a different day. But they're so inept offensively, it's going to be a long season. Defense is pretty good. I think they get squashed here. It's a heavy number. It's almost double digits. 9.5. Maybe it goes up to 10 by the time. Oh, you have it at 9. You have it at 9. Okay, okay, you have it at 9. Even better. Let me shave that hook off there.
Sorry, yeah, 9 on the score app.
Good job. Thank you. Okay, that's right. You know what? Okay, there you go.
I usually check because it does change.
It does change. A little fluctuation sound. Minus 9. Give me the Ravens as the Raiders 2 straight on the road. This will now across the country against a very good Ravens team. Ravens minus 9 over the Vegas Raiders. Number 2. All right, now, very possibly the two most impressive performances in week one. Now, I know the Saints did it against the Panthers, but they did hang almost 50 on them, and they won. And Dallas just absolutely dismantled and suffocated that Browns offense, which looked disastrous. And Dallas obviously has a good team all around. So, the Saints in Dallas's home opener here. I do think that Dallas wins. I do think it's a fun game. I do think the Saints cover. That's a pretty heavy number right there. Now, this probably comes down to how much faith you have in Derek Carr. Not if you think he's a star, but if you think he can do just enough to hang around. I do. I've always thought he's okay. Saints plus 6 at a hook in Dallas. Give it to Saints. How about this one? Last one. All right. Tampa Bay is plus 7, and they are at Detroit. Now, remember, they played in the playoffs last year, and Tampa's got some banged up issues in the secondary, so that worries you a bit, but it's a big, big number. Oh, yeah, how many touchdowns did Baker throw last week? Not one, not two, not three. Threw 4 touchdowns. You know, we sit around, oh, Baker's been on this team, and he's been on that team, and he's been on this team, that was on his 4th team. Baker Mayfield is never going to live up to that number one tag, like the draft overall draft tag, but he is a pretty competent quarterback. And this team has his back. They got receivers. I love Detroit, but I really like the Bucs to cover the numbers. So, in totality, in summation, Ravens minus 9 as they host the Raiders. Give me Baltimore. Give me the Saints plus 6 in the hook in Dallas. And finally, give me Tampa plus 7 at Detroit.
Let me just amend that, too. I got Tampa plus 7.5. So it's helping, you out. Yeah, did you look at the score app a while? Yeah, you're getting to gained a point.
I looked at the score app. I looked at something different.
Just keep it consistent.
Change a little bit, yes.
Yeah, we want to keep it consistent with the score app. So you got Bucks plus 7.5, Ravens minus 9 helped you out.
They're all wrong.
I think the Saints are 6, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. What'd you say with the Saints? You got plus
6.5.
Oh, I got 6 here. So you lose a half point there.
I lose a half point there. I got you. My bad, guys.
You want to change your picks?
Yeah.
We'll post these in case there was any confusion.
Yeah, Ravens minus 9, Saints plus 6, and Bucks plus 7.5. All right, Hoff, what do you got?
Well,
what is this?
What's today?
No longer the champion.
Oh, Friday the 13th.
Oh, nice. Okay. Ooh, got to do throwback. So we basically killed our picks last week, so I'm going to do my best to right the ship here.
Yeah.
I'm going to Arizona for the first game because Arizona last week got lucky, put up some points, and then Buffalo made a great comeback. The Rams, I think, still have a very explosive offense, and they're getting a point going to Arizona. Give me Rams plus 1 in Arizona. I feel like that's a lock of the weekend.
There's no locks.
There is no locks, exactly. That's why I'm going to Carolina for my next pick. And this is only a 2-for, by the way. I just want to get on the board.
2-team parlay for Hoff. After last year going down the field all day with the 5-teamers.
Yeah, now I'm just making it simple. Let me get on the board first.
All right.
The Panthers may be the worst team this season. Even the Patriots got a win. I don't know what type of offense they have. The Chargers, I actually like their running back situation here between Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins. Basically, the Baltimore Ravens offense a couple of years ago that couldn't stay healthy. They put up a ton of numbers last week. I think they're going to have a big day against Carolina, so give me the Chargers minus 5 over the Panthers.
Chargers minus 5, Rams plus 1 for Hoff on the Friday the 13th there theme with your perfect parlay picks. Okay. Now, one of my biggest weaknesses a year ago was that I was picking these games with my heart to a certain extent. And I promise not to do that anymore after week 2. 3-team parlay, BT. I need to get a win here. I'm going to start with the Giants. I doubled down on the Giants because I believed in Brian Daboll. I thought that they were going to beat the Vikings week 1 at home to start their 100th anniversary year. I could not have been more wrong. I'm going to go with them one more time, and then I swear that's it. If you don't beat the Washington Commanders in week 2, it's over between us, Big Blue! I believe in Daboll. I do believe in the defense. And I don't believe Washington, while they are highly skilled offensively, I don't believe they have enough to slow the Giants down defensively. It should be a defensive game for the Giants and offensively do enough. They win the game and cover the 1.5. Second game, I'm going to go to Monday night. And this is probably my favorite bet of the week. I'm anti-Philadelphia this year. I just don't think they're as good. They beat me last week, Friday night, in Brazil. I had the Packers. Eagles aren't that good. And everybody's going to be overreacting to week one with the Eagles offensively and what the Falcons did. And they looked awful offensively against the Steelers. Atlanta's not that bad. And the key about Atlanta is their defense. Defensively, they will be better than Philadelphia Monday night. You're getting 6.5 points. I know it's on the road. I know it's Philadelphia. Give me the Atlanta Falcons +6.5. I think they win the game outright with the defense and Cousin bounces back. Falcons are too good to not show up in week two. They will beat the Eagles, but give me the 6.5. And then I'm going to have one more pick, BT. My third pick in the perfect parlay pick segment for week two, is going to be... Somebody on this show has to have some sack! Give me your Jets, BT! You're going to be on hand to see it, Fireman Fred, all of the above. If the Jets are what we thought they were, and even if we didn't think the Jets, you know, like I didn't think they're going to be Super Bowl, and I didn't see more, goodness gracious, they have to beat the Tennessee Titans here. I get the trepidation on the road as favorites. It's not a familiar, you know, feeling for the Jet fan. Will Levis? I don't believe in Salah, but I do believe he's going to get that defense buttoned up. Aaron Rodgers will do way too much offensively for the Titans to compete with. Jets will win this game. They will cover the 3.5. They will get on the board this year. And I think whether it's, you know, 38-10, well, I'm not going there. I'm just saying it will be a comfortable, fun, easy win for UBT and the Jets come Sunday. So give me the Giants +1.5, Jets -3.5, and Atlanta Monday night on the road in Philly +6.5. As for the money lines, I mean, I picked the Jets and Giants, so there you have it. I think they both win. I'll take them straight up for the 5-point beat.
I've got the Jets and the Giants as well.
Okay, Hoff, any drama, or you have the Jets and the Giants?
So I guess it's a family pool. Are we doing this? Are we doing a family bet here? Jets, Giants, money line?
Hey, I think that's saying something, though. We all have confidence in the Jets and the Giants to a certain extent.
And we were all wrong on everything last week, so what does it really say here? You're saying do the opposite from these knuckleheads.
The imperfect parlay. I'll tell you this, man. I got a cash one here. And I will not be betting with my heart moving forward. I really do, though. If I believe in Dable, you got to double down and say that they're going to beat Washington this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in the Jets being a legitimate team, yeah. I get what you're saying. No need to play with fire or whatever. I got to believe the Jets are going to win this game against the Titans. And just, you know, from a local perspective, that's all that really matters for me with the Falcons, whatever. But I really do believe we'll see a turnaround in week two for these New York teams.
Yeah, but it's funny because the Falcons... They operated primarily out of pistol last week because they were really reluctant to have Kirk Cousins drop back with the torn Achilles and,
right.
and the repaired ruptured Achilles. I wonder, and that made him very predictable. I'm with you. I like the Falcons this year. I don't know if I love that pick. And you're right, though. You said you're going all heart. I don't know that you could go more heart with these three picks.
That's it. Those are
you
my three.
You grew up a Falcons fan, and you were a New York kid.
Right, rooting for the Jets and Giants.
Who else? Yeah. That's it. That's the heart.
This is it. This is the heart parlay. But also, like I said, there's legit reasons to believe in it.
I understand.
And Atlanta, the number one reason why I pick them, not because Kirk Cousins, the offense, because of the defense. I think the defense has been legit.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle. Touchdown, Bavaro. Bavaro goes to one knee, genuflects in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Right now on the line is host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Nick, happy week two.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Well, I mean, better than both the New York teams who laid an egg in week
Jets
one.
Jets will be okay.
I don't know if I'm touching this one because you said the Jets should win by 7 or 10, and they very well might, and I hope they do. It's the home opener. Jets coming off a short week, 3,000 miles away, back on the road. Like, yeah, the Jets should win, but to think that the Jets mop them by double digits, I'm not laying that money.
Well, they can mop them by double digits, but what has to happen is, like, Levis has to turn the ball over four times. And the good news is, like, that can definitely happen. Like, it can definitely, definitely happen. But I don't know if Levis plays a clean game. And remember, like this is not a made-up quote. Titans head coach Brian Callahan on Monday said, if we had put, this is a real, I had to check to see if this was The Onion. Brian Callahan said on Monday, if we had punted on first and 10 every possession in the second half, we might have won the game.
He did say that. Did you see that? He did say that.
No, I did not see that.
It's a great quote.
Yeah. I promise you that it happened and that he said it. So if I don't think it's likely that Levis plays a clean game, but if he does play a clean game, like, it's probably going to be pretty close at the end. But then, like the Jets have Aaron Rodgers and the Titans have Will Levis. It would be a totally, and again, I know everyone knows this, unacceptable beyond belief if the Jets lost this game to Tennessee, whether they cover the four or not.
You know, that's how we started the show, BT, talking about the I want to see a dominant performance from the Jets this weekend. You just want to win, which I understand. But I do think that how the game plays out, regardless of the result, like, there's no way to mince words. If they lose the game, it's going to be ugly come Monday. Like, that we all agree on. But I do think that there could be something. There's more to gain for them in this week, too, where they could have an impressive performance, go out there. And even though the Titans aren't that good, I still would put a lot of stock in a clean, buttoned-up, impressive performance, dominating at least in one area defensively the Tennessee Titans.
I prefer that. I don't know that we get that. I do think that the Jets win. And yeah, I mean, listen, this is what we discussed since the schedule came out. You see a path to a lot of wins early, really before you get to the Buffalo game. And the Jets, even when they've been really down, they seem to split with Buffalo anyway. So, and that's a primetime game. But, you know, if you win this game, really, for the most part, irregardless of how it looks, unless, again, the defense gets gashed and you win a shootout, which seems completely implausible based with Will Levis being their quarterback. But if, like, the Jets won 31-30, like, I'm coming here Monday saying this defense is just, there's no way it's the same defense.
Right.
That would worry me. Otherwise, bag the win. And then, you know, you start to inch toward Thursday. And, if you go into that Pats game, the Pats, I don't think they're going to be very good. I don't care what they did last week. You get 80,000 Jet fans at MetLife on a Thursday night, souped up and ready to roll with one win already in your back pocket. It's going to sound good.
I'm looking forward to that. Not only, though, is it a big weekend for both the Jets and Giants on Sunday. Hey,
let's go, man.
16 games to go for the Mets, who currently own a postseason spot right now ahead of Atlanta for that third wild card spot in Philly. Like, this is essentially the playoffs now. The playoffs have started. A little different for the Yanks because they're in. We've talked about that, how, like, I know the division is important, and now they're starting to separate themselves a little bit, although they have a series with Baltimore still to be played. But it's different because there's more urgency with the Mets because it's either you're in or out, mm-hmm. as opposed to division, but you still get in. 16 games to go, taking on Philadelphia tonight. This is the playoffs for the Mets, and this is the only thing left that they have to prove. Beat Philly, beat Atlanta. That's it. Everything else they've proved this year. They're better than anybody thought. The pitching has been good. The offense, Lindor, MVP, going to have a good record at the end of it. They need to prove that they can beat the two best teams in their division or be the second best team in their division by beating Atlanta. Philadelphia, Atlanta, that gets started tonight with 3 in Philly.
I'm really excited for this. I mean, I won't say it's going to validate the Mets' season so far because it's almost unfair to them.
No, but it will. It takes it to another level.
In a lot of ways, it will, even if it's not fair because they've played such good ball for so long, for months now. You hate to put it on, three games here, but I just wish you had somebody other. Quintana's going tonight, right?
Yeah, but then they have Severino and Peterson.
And Peterson.
And they lined it up specifically to have Manaea and Severino both pitching in Atlanta, and Kodai Senga is still a possibility to pitch in Atlanta or potentially Milwaukee.
Okay.
And then again, potentially in the postseason. So they've lined it up nice. Here we are. 16 to go. Yeah. This is it.
What do you think? All right, so there's 16 to go. The Mets have 80 wins already. If I said to you, Sal, the number of wins required to be a playoff team, first, second, third, wild card, whatever,
what do we have?
What do you
right
think
now?
It is?
You said, what are they? They're 80?
They got six. The 80, yep, 80 wins.
I mean, that is unbelievable that they have 80 to go.
With 16 to go?
Yeah. So you're saying not what I think they're going to get, what I think they need to get?
Just give me the total, like the absolute win total that you think it will be will be required to get a playoff.
I think probably 88. I think they should get in with 88.
So if they go 8, I think it should be more than that, man. If they go 8-8 the rest of the way, half of 16 is 8.
Yeah, you're talking about
that's
third.
Not good. You're playing the Nationals three times.
Third team. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you look at the Diamondbacks and Padres already with 82.
No way. Yeah, I think it might be 90 or 89.
All right, but think about it. 90. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're talking about a game difference.
Look at the standings. A game is everything.
Well, also, you're playing the Braves head-to-head. So, I mean, that's three right there. You know, those are going to be impactful games. Somebody's going to have some losses hung on them.
That's true.
I mean, when you...
I think the D-backs play the Padres without looking at everybody else's schedule or whatever. But still, 8-8, you're not signing up for 8-8,
would you? Well, that was a different conversation than what do you think it's going to take to get in. I mean, God, is it going to take 91 wins to get in?
It could take 90.
Well, looking at the math right now, you would think, like, hey, they can't go 8, they can't go 500 the rest of the way and get in because that would kind of be backing in. But then what? They're going to go 10-6?
I don't think 8-8 is, like, I don't think 88, which would be
89 will get it done.
Yeah, I don't think 88 is inconceivable that they get in.
Right.
But I don't want to take that chance,
All right, so 89?
I mean, 88's just not, it's some more breathing room than that.
Will 89 get it done?
89, I'd feel good about. 90, you're a lock.
I just think
go 10-6.
I think it's going to come down to
go 10-6. You got the Nationals three times.
Yeah, I'm not worried. No, I'm not saying they can't do that. You asked me what it would take. Now, if you ask me what I think they're going to do, 2 out of 3 in Philly.
You think that? I think they lose 2 out of 3 this weekend. Myself,
really?
I do. I don't like the Quintana. I don't like him being on the hill to start the series.
I mean, possible. Maybe they. I get.
But then I think they bounce back.
What's you have the schedule up there?
I had it. I have it now.
Then in Washington, where's
that? It's Washington right after that.
So 2 there minimum. Maybe they sweep. You know, they'll go 3-3 in these 6 at worst.
Okay, I agree that it's back to with Philly, Fort City.
Split that, let's say.
Yeah, to me, it's a little dangerous. Then you got 3 down in Atlanta, 3 in Milwaukee.
Minimum 2 out of 3
from
Atlanta.
You got to sweep the Nats, dude.
Yeah.
You got to broom them.
I just want the Braves.
But you got to, I hear you, but make sure you sweep the Nats.
All right, well, either way, we've got a lot to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah,
Yanks
man.
And
good
Sox.
Luck to you, Mets.
Mets and Phils, and of course, Jets and Giants. Hey, have a safe trip. Enjoy it.
I can't wait. I'll see some of you guys down in Tennessee. Let's go.
Don't come back without a dominant dub.
No, I'm going to come back with a dub and a hangover. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.